You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'd like you to use your Bibles for a few moments, especially with me. We'll turn to some scripture. As a little word, when I was studying back in chapter 2, so this was probably back in February, and I marked my Bible accordingly, and I just can't get that little word. It's three times in the book of Colossians. It's 240 times in the Bible. But I want you to read this little word, and I'll come back to this text. In chapter number 3, verse number 21, let's read it together. Begin. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. That little hinge word is lest. Lest they be discouraged. In fact, back up, if you will, chapter 2. In chapter 2, please back up, I'm sorry. And verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. And then I want you to see in chapter 2, in verse number 8, and of course we know beguile is to cause you to be unappreciative of what God, they'll snatch you away. Look what he says, and it's an umpire. We've already covered that word. Chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest, there's that word again, any man spoil you, capture you through philosophy. I want to address this word lest tonight. And if you would understand the fact with me that lest means it's undesirable. Look at chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest, or it's going to be an undesirable outcome if you provoke them to wrath. Provoke means to irritate your child. You irritate them and you irritate them and you drive them crazy, and you're wonderful with rules and regulations, but there has no relationship. They're going to get mad. Amen. They're going to bolt. It cannot be that in the Christian. The outcome, it's undesirable. Would you write down somewhere lest, L-E-S-T? It's an undesirable outcome. Would you write it down? Lest, L-E-S-T. It's an undesirable outcome. What is lest? Help me with it. Ready? An undesirable. We don't want an outcome like that. We don't want an outcome that, I don't want an outcome that we've run our race and then God said, you didn't do a good job. I'd like to hear well done. Not from the church, not from mankind. I think that day is gone. I don't believe, it's very, very rare that in this day, especially a pastor, I don't think it's possible. You can have a good name and it can be destroyed through the internet and a heartbeat, and you have no way to defend yourself. I know what I'm talking about. That day of, I read Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather, that won't ever happen for me now. Too many people get on the internet and lie. And what are you going to do as a pastor? Well, they're liars. You can't do that. So you let it go. And then people read that, and then all of a sudden, we got to go to another church because you're not a good pastor. I don't understand that stuff. Maybe it's because I was raised by a man. Like what one preacher said here years ago, I've never seen a real man leave a church. Now, I'm not saying you can't move away and things of that nature, but I've never seen this. I go to every city. I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, and Gulfport. There's three great churches in that city. All three were having it was back in January, all three were having a revival at the same time. And I was preaching at one meeting, Brother Cooper was at another one, and then they had another one. And we had all three of us go on the same night, Monday and Tuesday night. And this pastor here, his son married this pastor's daughter. I said, that's got to be tough. Because when you're in a small area like that, I will guarantee it, there's church hopping going all the time. There was five great churches in Rockford when my wife and I were serving there. And I don't remember many did this, but I remember one family, can't give you the name, they went to all five, left our church, went to all five, and spent years there, and then eventually came back where they started. You know, you have one church in town, two churches in town, three. Normally, it's always because of a split. I'd like to say something about that. I would never take a split. That's not anything new. I'm saying this for our boys. That's not something new. It's something I've said all 48 years I've been. I would never take a split. That means something didn't get resolved. If we're in one accord, it's going to get resolved. I would never take a split. It's the same thing as I wrote down for you 260 things that I'd never do. I'd never buy a brand new car for a kid. I wouldn't do it. Because that kid needs to have that experience with his wife when they get married. If they're going to buy a new car eventually, that kid, not a high school, and nobody has done that, a junior or a senior. Well, maybe 35 years ago, I do remember it now, come think of it. But don't let your kid buy a brand new car. Let him experience that as a mate. It's so quiet in here. I tell you what, it's great. And he says here, it's the undesirable outcome. I don't want one person here to have an undesirable outcome. Could you go back with me as you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4? We're going to get right back to this. I want to see this word a few times, and it's many times. The first time you find the word lest, it's in Genesis 3:3. Don't touch that tree, he said. Don't touch that tree, lest ye, three letters. Starts with the letter D, lest you die. I would say that's an undesirable outcome. God says, you touch it, lest you die. Don't do it. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. In chapter 4, let's take a look at verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. What's the next word? Lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen. That's what's happened in America. You want to know why? We forget our heritage. What government school is teaching about our founding fathers? What public school, government school is teaching about how the Constitution, something was written before the Constitution? And how have they been taught what influenced them? The Bible, yes, but another document influenced them as they wrote the Constitution of the United States of America? You would quote in eighth grade in America, California, but all through the, you had to pass the United States Constitution test. You had to memorize in eighth grade nationwide the preamble. You had to memorize and give an account of it. You had to memorize the Bill of Rights. And you had to take a test in the spring of the year. And if you did not pass it, you did not move to ninth grade. I remember taking it scared to death because I wanted to go to ninth grade. And I had to pass that test. That's just the way it is. Do you know when you swear, when you be sworn into the United States of America, you are saying, I swear allegiance to the United States of America and leave all other heritage and countries behind. Amen. Don't be running through our streets with a flag from another country. And by the way, we tell our missionaries that out of this college, you don't go to a foreign country and post the American flag. You're not there to make them Americans. You're there to make them Christians. Now, for your little family, you're having Thanksgiving. You want to have a flag in your home. But don't be putting a flag on your truck and riding through the and driving through the country of Venezuela or from China, whatever country you want to. Can't get in there. They have closed borders. Lest you forget forget heritage, lest there's an outcome that it's not acceptable. Look at verse 16. Lest you corrupt yourselves. And he's talking about graven images. When we begin to fall down before these false idols, the idol of money and prestige and power and authority, we corrupt ourselves. And the outcome's not desirable. Look at verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes to heaven when thou seest the sun, the moon, and you serve these. You serve these gods of the solar system. Note what he says in verse 23. Take heed to yourself. What's the next word? Lest you forget the covenant. You know, God's word says, Jack, mind your own business. I don't know the internet. I don't know how a good Christian can stay on the internet very long. I don't think it's possible. I know we work in our companies and jobs and all that, but I mean the social media, is that what you call it, social media? I don't see how you can stay on social media and walk with God. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible to be a good church member. Amen. You stay on that stuff. Why do we have to be, I'm glad. You know, when can I help you with something? I love you so much. When someone passes away and you find out, if you're not the immediate family, don't post it. What are we doing? I guess you get a star when you're the first one to post something. You know, there's an accident here in the corner, and I've never known anybody's done this, so be careful. I'm not mad at you. But there's an accident, and the first thing you do, parents don't know. Husband doesn't know. Wife doesn't know. We're posting it. Terrible accident. Here's the picture. What are you thinking? That's the problem. You're not. That's not even appropriate. We had a wedding here. We've had so many weddings this spring, and they're great in summer. But I'm telling you, we had a wedding here on it's so beautiful. Thank you for that wonderful wedding. But you know, and it was perfect this week because everybody followed the mother. The mother's the first to stand. Da 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 da. No, that's not the wedding march. What's the here da 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 da. However that goes. You know how that goes, Brother Galvan? I need you to run up here real fast and throw that on the keyboard for me. You know. So the bride's at the back. The mother doesn't even have to look back there because when she hears this note, it's her. And a seventh grade girl, you don't need to stand. You don't stand before Evelyn, you're going to be the bride's mother, okay? You played the piano so well tonight. Nobody stands until the bride's mother stands. She doesn't have to look back there. Here we go. You know what the song is? Yes, thank you. Maybe said, good, fellas. That's the song. You know, we have lost all appropriateness. Thank you. You can go back to sleep. We've lost all appropriateness, dignity, kindness. And the outcome is that because I've got to post. I've got to be the first one to do something. Look at chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Oh, boy, I didn't realize this could be this fun tonight. Verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together, 6:12. Ready? Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Ready? Begin. Then beware. You see, you forget, lest you forget. There is a very undesirable outcome coming. Let's go to chapter 29, and I'll go back to where we were here. Chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy, please. In chapter 29, and Michaela, we're glad to have you home with the Raisleys, your mom and dad and family. And Luke, I'm so glad Luke is back here. He's right in front of Brother John. And the depth family, I'm so thankful. You folks have been coming, and it's great. And normally I'm a nicer guy than this, my brother, but I try to be. In chapter number 29, let's look at verse 18. 29:18. And the Bible says, let me get there. I'm sorry. Here we go. 29:18. In 29:18, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord to go serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. You know, you have to look at, you have to look where you're going with your family. Hit and miss doesn't get it. We're a Sunday morning type person. No, that doesn't get it. So much more as you see the day approaching, God's word says. We're so careless with God. I'll tell you, all across America, 380,000, you've heard this till I'm blue in the face, 385,000 churches, and the vast majority are closed on Sunday night. And those that are open have very few people generally. I know I'm online. You know how it's showing up? There are no kids going in the ministry. We had a down year. We had 52 of our kids in Bible college. Last year, 62, but we graduated so many and thrust them in the work. We had prayer last week for two of our families leaving the ministry. We have two more this week leaving the mission field. That's the purpose of the church. Brother Flood would tell you this, and this place will be packed with teenagers at youth conference here in about 35 days. But the same churches yesteryear that had 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, those same churches are very, very thrilled to have 22 kids. 10 kids. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for our graduates are pastoring, they fill this place up. But it's all over America that way. Christian schools are, in the 70s, we were opening three a day, 365 days of the year on the average, three a day. You cannot find a Christian school. I mean a Christian school. I mean an independent, fundamental, separated Baptist. They're very few to find. And you cannot find them where they have a focus on training children for the next generation. So Pastor Everson, you're just getting calls. I need a pastor for our church. I need an associate pastor. I need a principal. I need someone to play the piano. I need a school teacher. I need a science teacher. I need a history teacher. I need a this. I need and the common answer is, we gave them all away. We have none. Send us some students. We are a career oriented. Everybody doesn't have to go in the ministry. Not all are called to the ministry, but there's got to be somebody in every church that, pastors, are you listening? That every pastor is nurturing for the work of the ministry. I tell you what's going to happen. I'll be gone. But very shortly in your lifetime, you're not going to have a Christian school. You're not going to have anybody going out of your church as a missionary. Because we're not thinking about missions. We're not thinking, what it used to be an honor. I'm raising a son and God called him to preach. Oh, really? My regret is that I don't have much, I've used my life. I'm not going to be missing. I never wanted to miss church. My wife, I don't want to miss church. She said on her radio program this morning, I want to be in church because I don't know how many Sundays have got left. I don't know how many days, weeks, months, years. Do I have a day? I don't know what I have left. And I don't want to be sitting at a ballpark or sitting by the side and goofing off and hoping my grandkids don't go to the ministry. And that's my prayer, that they'll all go serve God. Now, if they do, they maybe somebody will become a businessman. If that's God's will, or a police officer, praise God. What's so wrong about saying, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out your prayers for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. Publish glad tidings. Tonight, for the sake of time, I won't go to all these verses I have, but so many verses that God says, you go ahead and defile yourself. But here's the problem, lest you give your honor to another. You go ahead and defile yourself, you'll give your wealth to another. You go ahead and try to rebuke a scorner and he will hate thee, and reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. The Bible says, lest Satan, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get the advantage. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and most gladly will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now let's go back and I'll begin to pull this together with us tonight. In Colossians, in chapter 3, and thank you for listening. You say, Pastor, it seems like you're agitated. I'm not agitated, I'm burdened. This place is going to be an empty museum if you're not careful. And our church is growing. It's unbelievable. I watch that second balcony on Sunday morning. It's just thrilling what God has done. But I'm going to tell you something. Where we're at in America today, it's something I've told our staff for 48 years. A staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. We ought to be equipping, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, we ought to be equipping the members to run the buses. And equipping the members, of course, to be the deacons. And equipping the members to be the security. And equipping the members to serve the Lord this summer. Say, oh, yes, I can do that. Every high school boy ought to say, yes, I can do that. Every high school girl say, I can push a vacuum. I can't tell you how we've been in a big project this week. And I've been pushing vacuums all week this week and blowing blowers and pulling weeds and you name it. Why? Because it has to get done. But I'm going to just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I do that, it's not reason that I should leave the Word of God and serve tables, he says. I'm supposed to get myself to the Word of God in prayer. And quite frankly, I love the last 3 days, long hours and working and trying to get things done and ready for everything that's moving around here. But I'm just telling you, friend, if this church dies, it won't die because God wants it to die. It'll die because we just become like all other churches, and we're not like any other church. So that sounds boastful. No, it sounds like reality. There's nothing like North Valley. I get too old one day to pastor this church. Where do you want to go to church? North Valley. Say, you could sit here. Yes, I could. I'd be a good church member. And I'd find a task to do and keep my mouth shut. And I would not re-pastor. I'd not try to, I wouldn't want to say, well, give me an opportunity to preach once a month. I don't want that. I've done mine. That's the next guy. I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not leaving North Valley Baptist Church by the grace of God. Amen. Why would I stoop down to something of lower degree? He said, but you could have my house is going to get paid off. When I'm 99, I make my last payment. So guess what? That house is not our future. That house is going to be in the way. Told our Sunday school class Sunday, my sweet parents, 1970, bought a brand new house down there in Santa Teresa area, Blossom Hill, Alma Dems, beautiful, brand new, just built it, track home. But you know what happened when they got older? We had to sell it. And it broke my dad's heart the Saturday, or the one day, it was not a Saturday, whatever day, I said, Dad, we've got most of the house given away, but I've got to go to the garage. Take care of the things in the garage. The house is sold, we got to take care of this stuff. I had my sister who's with the Lord. I had her take him out of there. And my dad's tools were his pride and joy. The bus ministry, Brother Bill Shilton has some of his tools. I had to give them all away. I'll never forget hours, many hours later when they came back, the garage was completely empty. He said, son, where's my tools? It just broke my heart. I said, Dad, you can't take them with you. There's no room. You're moving to an apartment here on Lick Mill. And from there to a smaller apartment in Santa Maria so my sister could care for them. And from there into a small little room. And it took me two garbage bags. When my mother drew her last breath 9 years ago, all she had left was house coats and pajamas and slippers. And a dress to be buried in. She couldn't get to church anymore. She was bedridden. It took me two garbage bags, not full, just to take them to the dumpster. There was nothing left. You know, Pastor, you sell your house. You could go here and I don't need more property. I don't need a bigger house. So what we do, you watch what you don't need. You just watch. All these things, but such, be careful. I'm not saying I don't want you to buy a house. But you've got to be careful that this lust doesn't get a hold of you, lest you destroy everything.
Amen.
Lest you have you cannot move. It's not a good church. You find a better pastor and a better church, that might be maybe something to go to. But don't ever go down. If you can't find a church that's preaching the word and standing true and running buses and going soul winning, passing Bibles and trying to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, then friend, how good is it to get a 3,000 square foot house? You got to clean it. Look what he says in chapter 3, verse 21. I'm out of time. I'm just getting where I'm going. Ye fathers, provoke not, don't irritate your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Here's where I'm coming. You and I, especially in leadership, must live our lives to keep people encouraged.
Amen.
A preacher, 46 years ago, we were having a revival. I'll never forget. No, it wasn't 46 years ago, 1984, whatever that, it's 40 years ago. We were having a revival over there. Good preacher, great preacher, good man, stayed true all these years. But he was older than me. About midway through the week of revival, he sat me down in one of those offices and said, you are going to destroy this church. And I said, excuse me? He said, you coddle these people. You need to preach hard to these people. And he goes, if they're not there, you're making excuses. I wasn't making excuses, but I was trying to be understanding. We had people that were on business trips. We had people that were here and there and working night shift and all. You just can't say, okay, the church, we're having 8 days of revival. You cannot do anything. I don't believe that. I've always believed that you got to care for the sheep like they're sheep. Not cattle. He said, you'll destroy this church. I'll never forget he said that. Broke my heart because I respected him so much. He thought I was pampering the people too much. I don't like this philosophy that you have to be spanking and whipping all the time. My Bible says reprove, that is, discover the error, rebuke, you deal with the error, and exhort, that means you encourage. I think a pastor's job is to encourage. I think a parent's job is to encourage, not provoke them to anger, lest they be discouraged. You have to encourage them. I tell you what, these kids know, they know, they know. I could come and speak about every single, that play, what they did at that play a few weeks ago, how they sang, how they serve in this church. They're on bus rides. They've been out. They went to school all day and then went soul winning this afternoon. I tell you what, we are so, so, so blessed. I want to preach hard to them once in a while, but not all the time. In fact, very rarely. I want to encourage them.
Amen.
Parents, you encourage them. Coach, encourage. Now, wait a minute. I know a coach has to correct. I understand all that. And I know a coach has to deal right directly with you. That's, and parents do too, and a pastor does. But there has to be some encouragement. Did you realize that our son played ball, was a very good ball player. But I never told him from the stands what to do. It's not my place, it's the coach's place. It's the coach's place. I never said, Tim, defense, get on that defense. My job, I was loud. I scared the fire out of you Sunday night, didn't I? But my job is not to correct my kids at a baseball game, a basketball game, a soccer game, volleyball. My job is not to correct, but to be a cheerleader. Parents, don't correct from the basketball bleachers. What are you thinking? What are you doing out there, son? Get on defense. Oh, that's really helpful. That's like your husband saying, hey, get in that kitchen and start cooking. Let's get some food in this house. You don't treat your wife that way. Or the wife says, hey, Ralphie, do you think you can take your pile of laundry, it's been there for 4 weeks, to the laundry area and the house? Come on. Find your husband doing something good and praise it. It's going to be very difficult because men, we're not that smart. But a pastor and a parent and a coach and a teacher and a Sunday school teacher, bus worker, we encourage, because a child can be so quickly discouraged. If we're not careful, we'll say words like always and never. You never take your laundry to the hamper. You never clean your room. You always are the you're not helping your kid. And you're not helping your mate. Everything cannot be a no. Everything cannot be discipline. Everything cannot be drama and issue orientated. Everything for your kid can't be, it's not good enough. You did not arrive. That's narcissism.
Amen.
Provoke not. Your job in leadership is to encourage others. D.L. Moody died in 1899. D.L. Moody told the story that a fire was raging, and up on the fourth floor, they saw a little girl at the window. They said of this fire, literally thousands of people were there watching it. People came from everywhere to watch the fire. And a fireman was going up those metal stairs, and he got partway up, maybe, I don't know how far, 50% or more, but he got up there and the flames were so high and so hot, and that little girl was going to perish. And someone in the crowd, as he looked at that person and said, that fireman's coming back down, said, give him a cheer! Give him a cheer! And those hundreds of people, maybe yea, even thousands, began to cheer him on and cheer him on and cheer him on. And he reached that child and brought that child to safety. People want to give up quickly. I want to give up sometimes on many things in life. That's part of life. But never give up. Blind lady wrote that. Never give up. Never give up to your troubles. Don't give in. Don't give over. Don't yield. F.B. Meyer, who was the great preacher in London years ago, he died years ago. And F.B. Meyer said this. They said, if you had an opportunity now in your later years of your life, if you could change one thing in your pastorate and in your preaching, what would you change? F.B. Meyer, I have books from F.B. Meyer. Oh, what a great theologian. F.B. Meyer said this, I'd spend more time encouraging my people. Sunday night I preached to you, and I never thought about putting these together. Sunday night I preached to you as God's people, and I preached to myself, because I think preaching is to the pastor first and to the people of God, to the shepherd and then to the sheep. I preached on the upper room. I just believe you have to have one. It could be the cemetery. It could be the salt flats. It could be alone in your car. It could be a study. It could be at your house. It could be somewhere where every day you find your upper room to pray and walk with God. But did you notice? I hope you did. I didn't want you feeling terrible, because most Christians around the country do not pray. And I didn't want you to leave here guilty. I want you to leave encouraged. I gave you an illustration of a man that prays and has a prayer journal and works with his prayer journal. But the man I gave the illustration, the prayer journal, sometimes his mind wanders. And I'm on a prayer request, that person, and as that person's on that prayer request, his mind is going elsewhere. Did you notice that person that told you that man, that sometimes in his upper room he's praying and he falls asleep? That person was me, and I told you it was me. Most preachers say, I can't believe you ask your people to pray 5 minutes a day. I'd rather have 1,000 people, hands that went up to pray 5 minutes a day, than 10 people praying 30 minutes a day. I want everybody to pray. You say, well, that was Sunday night. I was all eager, and then I messed up. Yeah, I know. So start again. Lest these kids get discouraged. The outcome's not going to be good. We're out of time. Father, I do pray for these requests. We've been asked to pray for the Freeman family with the funeral, their 13-year-old son tomorrow. We've been asked to pray for Sister JoJo Moffin. Tonight we've made now the first announcement in 15 years of the cancer of Christina Martinez, and she's given us permission. I thank you for the fact that she's under doctor's care at the hospital. God, I don't believe she needs a visit. In fact, we can't go visit her. But we can go to the throne of grace for her. She's asked her church to pray for her. She's not bargaining with you, God, but she wants to bring more souls. That's her heart's desire. More souls. And I pray that you give her heart's desire. It's so grave tonight. And to see her in this condition is so sad, so sorrowful. I pray your blessing on these dear people. I love these people so much, Lord. I'm so grateful for them. Thankful for the children's ministries tonight, where they have an army of workers working with them. I pray some parents would be able to get home and lead some of their children to Christ tonight. Let's stand together, shall we? That lest word has just captured me so much since January. Lest you be discouraged. I don't want to discourage anybody. You determine the outcome. You sow righteousness, you reap righteousness. You sow wickedness, you reap it. Myself included.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.